Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Paul, good to see you once again.
Thank you. Good to be back into the studio.
Once again, we are here and we are talking about not so much the legacy part of the show this week, but the faith part.
Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact, I've been kind of chomping on the bit here to have this series. I've been preparing it for a while. And so I may be more excited today walking into the studio to share this aspect of our journey of faith is what we're going to call it, a series on the journey of faith, compared to any of the other stuff that I may be doing on a legal basis as far as estate planning, discussing children. All that is fantastic, and it's a wonderful setup, but here's really my heart is going to be expressed today, which is the journey of faith and what does it mean for us as believers to walk on this journey together? Because that's really all of our calling is a journey of faith. It starts with our belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So it starts there, but then that doesn't answer all the questions. We need to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in order to be successful in this life as believers. And so I'm just excited to bring the Journey of Faith series to the listeners right now, and so let's kick it off.
We'll take it away.
Yeah, very good. So some of the things that we're going to be discussing in this Journey of Faith is, well, why is faith so crucial and critical in our Christian life? Many people struggle in their faith. And so why is this journey of faith so stinking hard sometimes? I don't know if any of the listeners kind of relate to that, but I have not always had a really clear sailing of this journey of faith. So why is it so hard? How do we refocus our faith if we have gone off center? And so there's an opportunity for us to refocus our faith back onto the one who is faithful. And so how do we do that? And if we've had disappointed faith, how do we build ourselves back up, refocus on the promises of God, and reattach our faith back to Him? And so these are some of the topics that I'd like to take for us during this series. And so the journey of faith, so let's start it out. Well, why do we need to even have faith? Well, let's start with some of the fundamentals. And we have to establish some fundamental truths out of the gate here. And the first one is that there's a lot of voices coming at us in this world. There's voices that we listen to on the news. There's voices of friends. There's voices of pastors. There's voices of spouses. And there's so much out there that sometimes, at least for my journey, I've had a hard time pulling those voices apart sometimes and then refocusing back on the Word of God. And the Word is very clear. God is good. And that has to be the fundamental truth of everything that we discuss today and for this journey, is that if we don't come back and reconnect our faith on that principle and that principle alone, then I think our journey of faith is going to be virtually derailed. And so we need to establish in our own hearts, in our own minds, and by biblical truth that God is good. He's good all the time. He never fails. And He never has failed, and He never will fail. And so if we don't establish in our lives the fundamental truth of how good He is, then our journey of faith is going to be very difficult. Hosea 4:6, it says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected it. So think about that verse. It's not just that we struggle, but the lack of knowledge, the lack of biblical truth actually destroys us. It actually unhinges our very lives. And so truth must start based upon the Word of God. It has to start there. That has to be our fundamental truth in everything that we do. We cannot sway from it. We cannot depart from it. As soon as we start taking our truths or beginning to create our perceptions from the things and other voices of the outside world, whether it's even from my voice, whether it's from the voice of the church, whether it's the voice of this world, which cries loudly to us to say, come and listen to me. Come and readjust your thought life. Adjust your belief system based upon what I'm trying to tell you. As soon as that happens, then we are going to begin to set up this journey of faith as a very, very difficult journey, wherein if we reestablish our truths based upon God's word and God's word alone, then I think that we're going to have a much better opportunity to live this Christian life successfully and really walk in the blessings and the peace and the joy of God. Because there, we see it in the Word. We see these promises. We see what the Christian life is supposed to be like. And yet many of us struggle to understand or actually receive and have that manifested in our lives. So that is what I want to talk about over this series. How do we receive those promises of God? How do we allow the Word of God to penetrate our lives deeply so that the manifestation of His promises can be what we always walk in? So let's take a look at some of God's truth, and let's take a look first in 2 Corinthians 1:20. So in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us." So there's several truths I want to try to elicit out of this scripture. Because remember, the foundation that we're trying to establish here first is that God is good, is that God is faithful every single time. And so in here, we say, for all the promises of God in Him are yes. So the first truth that we want to elicit out of God's word is that God is always saying yes when His promise is on the line. When we look through Scripture and we see that God has a promise for us, whether it's for peace of mind, peace of heart, whether it's for finances, whether it's for our daily needs, whether it's for peace in relationships, whether it's for love, all of these things have scriptural promises that we can, as believers, begin to take the journey of reading God's Word, seeing a promise, and saying, that is supposed to be mine. Well, what I'm here to say is that every single time, God is ready, willing, and able to back up His promise to say yes. I've heard it said many times that sometimes when we pray to God that His answer is yes, sometimes it's maybe, and sometimes it's no. I'm here to tell you that that is absolutely not scriptural. That is not God's word. It can't be God's word, because we just read 2 Corinthians 1:20 that the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him are amen, unto His glory by us. There is no maybe in that scripture. There is no in that scripture. God's promises are yes. Now, I've had other people say, but, you know, God has changed His mind. Yes, but not according to what His promise was. There were situations in the Old Testament to where it was very clear that an individual praying that was able to come before the throne of God, was able to come before Him, and God changed His heart towards an action He was about ready to take towards His people of Israel. So God moved His actions, but God never moves His promises. And so when we find scriptural promises, we have to start with the premise that He is on board with His word. He always says yes. He will always back up His word. So faith works every time because God's promises are absolute. God's not going to change His mind towards you. He is not a respecter of persons. It can't work for me, but then not work for you. And vice versa. It can't work for you, but then not work for me. So we see that God's faithfulness is always an opportunity for us to reestablish our hearts of faith. As a matter of fact, that's one of the biggest tools the enemy has, is to come back to you and say, well, God's not faithful. His word really isn't going to be performed this time, is it? Yes, it is. We can reestablish our hearts in his truth and reconnect back to the promise. So understanding his promises, seeing his promises in the word, is a critical component to our faith journey, which is, what are God's promises? And they are intended for you. And God says yes every single time. Now back into 2 Corinthians 1:20, there's a second aspect that we want to elicit out of it. What does it mean for us to be in him? And so, because it says, for all of God's promises are in him, yes. Well, some theologians have the thought process that the in him is relating back to verse 19, which is, we're talking about the Son of God and Jesus, and it says, for he was not yes and no, but he was yes. In other words, the promise of Jesus was yes every time. Now, whether we link that in him back to Jesus of the as it goes back to verse 19, or whether we relate the in him back to God, the one who promises, we understand that the Trinity is the same. Their character is the same. Their word is the same. And so we come to the same conclusion, which is the in him is, it's whether it's in God or whether it is in Christ Jesus, the result is the same. And here is the result, which is that God is not a man that he should lie. So that's Numbers 23:19. So when we look at God's promises, we have to take him at his word, because he can't lie. He can't one day say, today my promise is this, but tomorrow it's that. In Deuteronomy 7, he says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps his covenant and his mercy with them that love him, and he keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. That sounds like some pretty solid faithfulness to me. So God's word is faithful because he, at his core, is faithful every time. In Hebrews 6:13, as I flip there in my Bible, it says, for God, when he made a promise to Abraham, he could not swear by anyone greater, so he swore by himself. The promises of God are backed up by the integrity of God. And God has no equal. He has no one else that he can swear by. So his faithfulness backs up his own promise. As a matter of fact, as we look at Hebrews, it says that when he made these promises to Abraham, there was no one else that could match himself in character and equality. So he said, I swear by myself that I will fulfill my word. So we need to remember, and also in Jeremiah 1:12, as we walk into the break here, it also says that the Lord said to me, you have seen right. I will hasten to my word and perform it. In other words, God looks over his word because he's jealous over it. He will perform his word because it is his integrity on the line. And so as we build some of these scriptures that every promise of God is yes, and every promise is backed by him and his integrity, we begin to start seeing a picture of who our God is, and that we can rest upon his faithfulness and call his promises yes.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant this week, the journey of faith. So really focusing on the faith part of the Legacy and Faith show this week. But if people are needing help, though, with their legacy, their estate and tax planning purposes, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Yep, we can always go over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. All of our previous podcasts are available there. Some great things about wills, trust, estate planning, children. It's all up on legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith show this week in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith show. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswordtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswordtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, Mark Holland co-hosting once again, but actually kind of sitting back getting a Bible lesson this week from Pastor Paul. Are you a pastor?
No, I'm not a pastor. Okay. At one point, about 20 years ago, I did hold a minister's license, but then I took a different journey and went into law. Mm-hmm. And so I exited out of the church that I was associated with at that time and then moved into law itself. So no more minister's license right now.
Okay, well, we're on the journey of faith with you this week, and let's continue. You said some provocative things in the first section there. The thing that we always hear about is all of the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen, or yes and amen. So that is quite a statement.
That's right, and that's kind of our foundational scripture for today in 2 Corinthians 1:20. And so we were looking at that, first of all, God is always yes to his promises. So, therefore, any promise that we see, we can rest upon God is backing that up. And how does he back it up? He backs it up with his integrity, because he's not a man that he should lie. And so as we look back at that scripture again, the very last thing that we see in this scripture is that the promises in him are for his glory. And so his promises are intended to radically change our lives so that we can be healthy, made whole, and ready to move with his gospel to bring it to a dying world. That is always his purpose in everything that he has done. That is the setup. That is the storyline of the beautiful story of redemption, is that Christ died for us, that we might be redeemed unto him. He died for us so that we could be made whole and then become the workmanship of his glory. And the workmanship, then, we have things to do. We have a calling to fulfill in our lives, and a large part of that calling is to continue to speak and demonstrate the beauty of God's grace, the beauty of his love. And so everything that God promises is for our edification, that we may be built up so that we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the unto the glory of God by us. See, we have a part to play in faith. Faith is not a one-way street, that it is given by God, and somehow by osmosis we receive faith. Rather, faith is a partnership between God and man. James 2:17 says, faith without works is dead if it's just faith and faith alone. And it goes on to say, if you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. But if you show me your works, I'll show you my faith. And so there is an interlocking between the journey of faith that says God's part is played and man's part is played. It must be a two-way street. We have to work together. And so, therefore, as we move out of 1 Corinthians 2:1-20, then what the conclusion is that every promise of God for us is backed up by the absoluteness of his integrity, that the promise is yes and amen for his glory through our partnership. And so we have a role. We have a role. So now, if we can see that the promises of God are yes, then the next most natural question that many individuals have is, then why don't I see those promises manifested in my life? And that's an honest question. I've asked it many times. As a matter of fact, every single believer, I believe, that is out there. I know every believer that I've ever talked to, this is where we potentially have a disconnect, which is, I see what the Word says, and I want to believe the Word of God, and yet I don't see it being manifested. I don't see my life being whole. I don't see my life being filled up so that I can give out. So then what's the disconnect? Well, in that disconnect, then we need to start, again, relooking at what God's promises are, because they will work every time without fail, manifested in our lives. So let's take a look. Because we have a real enemy desiring to resist God's entrance into this world, we need to take a little bit of time and look at what that resistance is. Because here is maybe a lot of our setup, which is we see the promise, but then there's a real enemy, Satan himself, who wants to resist that word, that productivity in our lives from being manifested, because again, his job or his desire is to proclaim himself as God. It is to lift himself up. And he has dominion of this world right now. And so therefore, we need to understand that. And I go back to Hosea, without knowledge, we are destroyed. So we need to take just a brief look at the enemy. The objective here is not to give him any part of the glory. It's to understand so that with wisdom, we can counteract what we are facing. See, we're in a real war. This spiritual life is a true setup and a true war, because we're in a war for the salvation of men and women's souls. And the enemy does not want to relinquish that power that he has. But we have the final victory. We have the blood of Jesus Christ and the cross of victory. But it is up to us to then take that step forward and make God's interest through our lives. So again, that comes back to the faith is a partnership between us and God, that we must respond to the gospel. We must resist the enemy so he will flee from us, so that we can be productive. So right now, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Be aware of the schemes of the devil, for we do not want to be ignorant of his devices." So we need to take a brief look at what he is doing in the earth, because this is his current domain. In Isaiah, it says, Isaiah 14, we see a brief glimpse of who Satan is. Isaiah 14 says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You who have been weakened the nations." Excuse me, "you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to hell, to the recessions of the pit." This is who Satan thinks he is. His objective, his entire purpose, is to exalt himself and to lift himself up. Ezekiel 28 gives us another insight that he was set up with perfect beauty. He was created the most beautiful angel that there was, and it gives an extraordinary, lavish, a detailed account of how he looked before his fall. But it says that you were that by your own heart, you traded it for the violence and you sinned. So therefore, God casted him down from the heavens and he sent him back to the earth. It says that Satan's heart was lifted up because of his beauty. He corrupted his wisdom because of his splendor. So therefore, God cast him to the ground and he put him before kings that they may see you. And so here's the setup of who the enemy is and what he desires to do. He desires to lift himself up and to exalt himself above the living God, to take God's place, to take his glory and his righteousness and have it on full display. And that glory is now seen in the earth realm, and that is the resistance that we have in our faith. But I want to encourage us that we have a faithful God. His word is true every time. He's not a man that he should lie, and his promises are real and absolute. And we can have victory as Christians when we begin to understand the journey of faith. I want to encourage us this week that we have the answer. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the one who has been victorious over the enemy. And the enemy's schemes can be known, figured out, and we can overcome. And so that is the kickoff to our journey of faith. And so we will continue this next week, and I hope that you've been encouraged by it. Of course, you can always go back to our website at legacyandfaith.com. You can find out more about our estate planning services, past and previous podcasts. All of our educational information is there, ways to communicate with the firm. And so I hope that this has been a time that has encouraged you, uplifted you, and that we find that God's faithfulness is absolute.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, The Journey of Faith, Part 1. We'll get into Part 2 next time. Again, for more details about Paul's services, you can go to legacyandfaith.com. That's the Legacy and Faith Show here with Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.